voters. And that's what we deserve from our leaders.
Kat Abu-Ghazaleh, I want to thank you for being with us, progressive congressional candidate in Illinois 9th District, which includes Chicago. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
When they separated families, we took them to court and won. When they limited access to essential health care, we fought the bans and won. And now they're determined to reverse more of our hard-won rights. But if they try to take away our rights, they've got to get past us. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we will fight any attempts to roll back our rights in the courts and in the streets. Learn more at myaclu.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, as well as 107.3 FM, and over the entire internet at WUSB.FM. It's a Tuesday. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for another edition of Off the Wall.
Last year on Off the Wall,
Brendan Carr claimed that her appearance violated the equal time rule. The FCC's equal time rule is a set of rules that seek to ensure no legally qualified candidate for office is unfairly given less access to the airwaves. Nobody can say Trump has not been given access to the airwaves. But the commissioner, this idiot, well, is it smart for me to call an FCC, a sitting FCC commissioner, an idiot on a broadcast state? Probably not.
Yeah. Okay, I did it. I confess. First of all, off the wall, Emmanuel Goldstein over here, Kyle over there.
Hi.
I called Brendan Carr an idiot. It was on November 5th of 2024, almost a year ago. I guess maybe the lesson here is that if Kyle or myself call somebody out as an idiot, it's most likely true. And just like WUSB is well known for breaking artists musically months, even years before they become big, we are able to identify idiots well ahead of the curve before the mainstream gets to that point. Because I think everyone now knows Brendan Carr is, in fact, an idiot. I mean, nobody can really argue that, right? We're past that point. The FCC chief, who basically kicked Jimmy Kimmel off the air, proved himself to be an idiot. And, you know, the question comes up often. I mean, how many times have you heard this question? What kind of idiot are you? It's a valid question. It's a question that demands an answer because there are many different kinds of idiots. You know, there's your run-of-the-mill idiot, just doesn't care and doesn't bother to try and learn anything. There's the idiot that is well-read but spouts nonsense. And then you have the kind of idiots that are running the place right now that we see on the news every single day. I call them the Olympic idiots because, boy, they've got it covered on all grounds. You know, they have the power. They can, well, sometimes string a sentence together, but they can fill it so full of utter nonsense, which is the strongest word I can use right now. They cannot deal with people. They cannot have a civilized conversation. They cannot even entertain the notion of somebody disagreeing with them. We see it over and over again. Every single press conference in the Trump administration has been like this. Also just plain old ignorance, not knowing what the hell you're talking about, not knowing facts, not knowing how to find a country on a map, not knowing how to find states on a map. I mean, did you see Trump the other day? He was talking about MMR vaccines, you know, mumps, measles, rubella. He didn't know the R. He didn't know rubella. How do you not know that? You're the president of the United States. You should know something. What are you doing?
Yeah, he, I think, should consider admitting when he doesn't know something. It's actually, it's an honest, and I know that might not work for some people's personality types and ego, but it is actually a source of strength, and it creates an opportunity to learn something yourself. Uh-huh. And acting as though you know something can be harmful.
Yeah, and you often say, Kyle, that you're open to being wrong or to learning. You know, not pretending you're an expert on something. Because, you know, there are very few things any of us are experts on. So we should always be listening and, you know, entertaining the possibility that we've got it wrong. I do that all the time.
I also think of it in an artist or something creative. It's a process that you're honing, you're constantly refining and getting better at that creative expression or whatever that is, but it's never, you'd be the last to say that it's itself perfect or so. I mean, you have to let go of these things and continue the process with something else or come back to things. But as far as different things make up who you are as that person, you're always working on things. You're always open to things to mm-hmm. get better at who you actually are and that self-actualization and stuff. So it's, I guess, a different philosophy. I mean, some people, and I think also people have like outward armor or something that they think it defends them, but intellectually speaking, it can be really revealing.
Well, you know, I think Trump does admit when he doesn't know things, but he does it in a weird way where it's a point of pride. It's like, you know, I don't know this and I'm glad I don't know this. You shouldn't know it either. It's stupid to know these things. You know, it's like, you know, the stupid kids in school oh my God, we're learning. That's bad. You know, or if you know, you excel in the subject, well, then you're open to more bullying because you're not supposed to be learning. It's not supposed to be fun. You're supposed to be angry all the time. I think that kind of sums up who he is. You know, the other day he was at Windsor Castle. Why do people keep sucking up to him? I don't get that. The king, queen of England, come on. If anybody can look down on this person, it's you. Plus, you know, he touched the monarch. You're not supposed to touch monarchs. You could get executed for that in the old days. Just saying. But he was talking about, you know, the food that they were giving them. And this is a real quote. He said, yeah, we ate whatever the hell they gave us. That is his level of interest in something that most people would at least be curious. What exactly is this? And, you know, what's the story behind it? It's, you know, Windsor Castle, for God's sake. He even said it was the ultimate. So, yeah, that's what's going on. Ignorance is the goal. And boy, are we achieving it. Just today, he was in front of the UN. Again, why let this guy speak? It's just going to be utter nonsense. The funny thing is, first thing he said, you know what the first thing he said was, Kyle? My teleprompter is broken. Uh-oh, you know what's going to happen now. So he pretty much spoke off the cuff. And he's blaming the UN now for his broken teleprompter. He's also blaming the UN for a broken escalator in the building. You know, I don't think the United Nations is the one maintaining the escalator. I think it's probably a contractor from the United States. Just a wild stab in the dark, but that's how I think it works.
That is not to undermine that as a problem, because the United States generally could use a lot better support for things that are used widely by the public and in private spaces as well. But those things are dangerous. They shouldn't fall into disrepair, and they serve a purpose in keeping certain areas and pathways flowing so that there isn't congestion. And especially in an emergency or something, you need to like have buildings function a certain way. Well, that you can respect that,
yeah,
problem.
You know, one escalator about 10 years ago, I really wish had failed. That would have been, that would have sent a better message. And you know, I've mentioned this many times that escalators in our country just don't work like they do in Europe. You know, I don't know what the problem is, what the challenge is, but you know, you walk up to one in a train station or an airport in Europe, and it's not working until you walk up to it. Then it works. It brings you up to the top. Then it stops, and then you know they save energy. They save energy, and that's not cool. You should waste energy. That's literally the message our administration is sending. But, you know, I also don't want to discount the possibility that he was on the escalator today at the UN and somebody just turned it off, because that's what I would do. That's what if I was near an escalator switch somewhere, I would throw that switch.
Like maybe a subtle way of suggesting you should take the stairs, you know, get some steps in and that kind of thing.
No, it wouldn't be out of caring. It would be just, you know, to
make his day hell.
Just to make him even angrier.
Ah.
And he's pretty angry right now. You hear the messages to Russia. Oh, my God. Look, I'm happy that for some reason now he's taking the side of Ukraine. Sure, it took long enough. But now he's saying that Ukraine can get all its territory back, including the Crimea. Okay. He's really angry at Putin. I don't know what Putin did, but he got him miffed somehow. You know, I agree with the position. I agree that there should be all kinds of embargoes and things against Russia. I agree that the land should be given back. I agree they should pay a severe penalty for what they have done. I'm just not sure I'm comfortable with Trump being the one to send that message, because he is a spoiled child and he is going to throw one hell of a tantrum when he doesn't get what he wants. And he's not going to get what he wants because people don't respect him. You know, somebody else in that same position might have been able to negotiate something where we didn't wind up with, you know, hurtling towards some kind of really major conflict. And, you know, during the campaign, that is what Biden was labeled with, that he is dragging us into war. And I just feel like we're really on the roller coaster going downhill now towards that war because of the things Trump is saying and just his childishness. It's a little scary because I don't know if he has it thought out. I agree with the sentiment that it's wrong what they did. It's kind of hard to believe him when he was saying almost the opposite a few months ago, and you have to wonder what he's going to say a few months from now.
I feel the same way. There's a lost trust in some of the really jarring takes that had preceded this different approach. I will point out, though, I mean, I haven't read the story yet. I don't know much about what all was said, but I read a couple excerpts from it, and I think the right words are being said, but can we trust that this path that'll see this through and won't get bored with it or change his mind on that support? But I think the phrasing is right. It's the correct way to put it, at least with some of the things he's been advocating for. In other words, it being a European venture. And I won't get into more, but I do think that it fits with what we know his position has been, but it's in the correct diplomatic terms. And I think that people have had some very serious conversations, especially considering the kinds of testing and swarms of drones and things like that. Like, that only scales up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worthwhile, and I think people have expressed their concerns to him, but I don't know. We'll never know, or we'll never know within this term and stuff like that, because that kind of honesty is really hard to find.
Well, we'll know when the books start coming out, you know, years after all of this. But yeah, it's a little unsettling, because you know, you don't really want to agree with Trump, but when he says something that does make sense, you have to acknowledge it, and it does make sense that Russia should not get away with this. But it's what people have been saying for years now, and he only just arrived at that conclusion recently. So, you know, forgive me if I'm a little dubious as far as whether or not he's sincere.
Yeah, but to a large degree, I think it's about the Joint Chiefs and the leadership at NATO, and I think they know a little bit more about what they're doing.
Right, but he resents that. He resents people who know more than him. He pushes back.
He has the final word, but I think they can interpret a lot of the direction, given that a lot of it's super vague,
mm-hmm.
in, you know, these off the cuff style of leadership. But you can't really know what exactly is going on in the moment, because a lot of decisions are being made ahead of what anybody could really interpret or get reporting on. So I hope that there's competencies, and that, you know, whatever Europe is doing, or whatever messages have been sent from Ukraine, from the front, from the leadership in Kiev, we'll see. But it seems to be the right sense of urgency, the right tenor of updates. But I don't think we should get stuck in this. It's that trust has been lost. That's, I think, the biggest thing for me going forward. But we'll just have to come back to it and hope that things get accomplished as he's hopefully suggested. It's sort of optimistic, I guess, in tone. And I think that if that's what Ukraine wants, and there are as many people behind it, then I think there is some hope there. But we also can't get stuck in it, because there's so many other things that
point.
Are eroding and corroding. And
that this is the one a possible positive thing coming out of this administration this week. And really, that's it. First of all, today he was in front of the United Nations, basically berating them, mocking them, and not understanding what the United Nations is all about. United States and Israel, the only two countries really opposed to a Palestinian state. It's embarrassing. It's criminal, in fact. And you have to wonder what the future is going to hold. One thing he said in front of the UN is that they don't follow through. They don't have any bite. And you know what? I agree, because they should be biting us. They should be biting Israel. They should be actually doing something. They're not given enough power. But, you know, at some point, when a country or a regime breaks the rules or commits war crimes, they need to feel the pain. They need to be driven to their knees. Yeah, I'll say it, because that kind of behavior is uncivilized, and it should not be tolerated. And it is tolerated, unfortunately.
you know, when a dictator we don't like is brought to justice, we're all happy about that. But when it's a dictator who is paying their dues and is in favor of our regime, we turn a blind eye. We don't accept decisions of the International Criminal Court. In fact, we even punish people who are a part of the International Criminal Court. Kind of makes you feel like you're on the wrong side. And, you know, it's very easy to get distracted by other issues, you know, history, who did what to whom, when. You have to at some point put all that aside and ask yourself, what am I doing right now? Am I doing something that is heinous, that is not what the founding fathers or mothers or whoever started a particular regime, what they would have wanted? Is this something that is hurting more than it's helping? Nobody should be afraid to ask those questions. And I feel like we have blinders up where we're just not able to even consider that, as Kyle said, we are open to being wrong, you know? And maybe we should be open to being wrong more, because we sure say a lot of things, and I don't like a lot of it. Okay, so...
and we're a major player in all this. We can't not make these decisions and just reel in and withdraw from the outside world, that sort of nationalistic attitude. It's like we are a big part of the world, and... not making decisions and not leading is an enormous loss.
Exactly. Yeah. Now today, when I got up, I had a bit of a headache, and I went to the medicine cabinet, and in front of me was Advil and Tylenol. And I don't know if I should be embarrassed by saying this or somewhat proud, but I took the Tylenol. I felt like I was making a political statement by taking Tylenol instead of Advil, because the absurdity, the insanity, the craziness of that health press conference. If you haven't seen it, go online, find it. It's something. Oh my God. These people, spearheaded by Robert Kennedy, don't know what the hell they're talking about. All of medical science is screaming in abject horror that there is no science to back up their conclusions. I don't know if Tylenol missed a bribe payment or something to Trump, but he's mad at them and wants to put them out of business for one reason or another. There is nothing that links taking Tylenol, if you're pregnant, non-pregnant, whatever, to autism. There just isn't. You know, it's good to do research into these things and try to find links, but that has not happened. And you don't need me to tell you that. Look around. Anybody with any knowledge of medicine or even science is basically saying the same thing. Yet they're pushing this, and people are taking the advice because they trust, they believe. You know, it's like any religion where you just do what you're told, and questioning. Well, questioning is not a good thing. Why would you do that? So, I took the Tylenol. What do you think about that, Kyle?
I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of Americans are confused a little bit by this at first glance. But it isn't really, it's not really known yet. And in such discreet terms. And I don't know that he's the authority to really listen to. And I think that's a lot of the other takeaway after kind of considering it for a second, but,
Why was he the one telling us? Wasn't it Kennedy?
You know? Yeah. Wouldn't it be an FDA or like a recall of some kind, or some kind of, talks about a formulation or a phasing out or new guidelines for dosages or how people should be using these in aligned with, prenatal care and pregnancy. I mean, that's kind of a natural way you would inform doctors and medical practitioners and people that would be advising people concerned about this. So it's like you said, seems kind of like something to discredit one of the, I don't know who actually makes Tylenol, but one of these companies.
It's probably some awful company. No, I'm not defending them, who they are.
Is it SC Johnson or it's,
it could be, you know, it could be Pillsbury. I mean, I'm wondering,
I'm wondering if like media, it's a company that also makes vaccines and it's somehow related in some way, but I don't know. There hasn't, maybe there's reporting about it. I haven't really been reading a whole lot of that stuff.
Sinclair?
Yeah. I think Sinclair? They have a pharmaceutical wing. Yeah.
No, they're just joshing with us. Yeah. Well, you know, but everybody.
But does that sound like a, I mean, it's anybody's guess, right? Like, why?
Uh huh. Yeah. It makes little to no sense. You know, maybe it's something that was overheard at some point and Trump just decided to run with it.
But isn't this also the sort of like shiny thing of the week, like this thing where the administration puts out something that we're all supposed to react to, mm-hmm. to ignore all the other transgressions and stuff.
Why Tylenol? I just don't understand.
Yeah, that's the weird, these things are all sort of weirdly targeting American business or just the economic situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least, you know, pick something more left wing, like the Red Star painkiller that you don't see much of that anymore.
What, naproxen?
It's just, you know, the more socialist brands of painkillers.
Who knows? I don't know.
It takes the capitalism right out of your system.
Well, hopefully we'll get some more studies. Maybe this is what he meant to say is that they're going to be investing in research of this, so we get better science around.
Okay, you just said a bunch of things there that just don't fly with this administration. Research. Investing, mm-hmm.
Publicly funded medical discovery.
Taking the money away. And they are. They're literally stealing the money from the people. You know, it's like any two-bit dictator would do, except it's done with the blessing of Congress and the media and all that. It's terrible. It really is terrible.
What else is going on?
Well, okay, so that kind of leads us into vaccines, which is a big deal, and it's going to become more of a big deal in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Now, I am thrilled to be in a state where vaccines are not being discouraged. And it was such an easy thing for both Kyle and myself to schedule vaccines for COVID. Against COVID and the flu, and everybody should be getting these vaccines. No question about that. They work. They have been proven to work. And no idiot that thinks there's some deep state conspiracy going on is going to convince me otherwise. The science backs it up. And unless you want to go back to the way things were in 2020 when we had no idea what was going on and a hell of a lot of people were dying. Why are we resisting this? And not only this, but, you know, childhood immunizations that are essential against things like whooping cough and measles and smallpox, even polio. I mean, you know, I guess when they say make America great again, they really are thinking back to the past where people were dying left and right of all kinds of diseases. That's what happens when you don't have vaccines. Vaccines are proven. Ask anybody who works in the sciences or is a doctor, assuming you trust those people. And if you don't trust those people, there's nothing I can say. But yeah, you know, it's the sad part is it's really, really easy to schedule these vaccines and probably get them paid for as well, because I don't think a lot of people are doing it. I think a lot of people are saying, yeah, I'm done with that. Very foolishly. And, you know, when you actually come down with the symptoms, you can't take the vaccine then you have to get treatment, you know, or just hope that you, you get through it. Okay. Which, you know, honestly, you probably will, but you never know for sure. Something could be, complicating your recovery. You could come down with something else. You might not be as strong as you think you are. There's all kinds of things that people don't take into account. But vaccines, these particular vaccines, are proven to be effective. And if you've gotten COVID, as I have done over the years, a couple of times, you might ask yourself, what did I take the vaccine for? I got COVID anyway. Yeah, but you know, COVID wasn't much more than, you know, a cold. because you had the vaccine. It lessened the effects. And that's just something that I'm really worried about. Not so much here in New York, not so much in Washington State, or, you know, other places where, you know, science is taken seriously. I'm worried about places like Florida, places like Texas, places like, you know, Alabama. I know what's going to happen to those people, you know, where it's made really, really difficult or expensive or discouraged. It's almost to the point where you're punished if you get a vaccine. What are we doing? What world is this that we're building here or allowing to be built here? Because we might think we're completely helpless here, and that, yeah, it's, you know, the people voted for this. Yeah, but, you know, you're part of the people. And just because the majority of people made a mistake does not mean that mistake can't be fixed in various ways up until the next time our opinion is asked for. And there are ways to express your discontent, such as the upcoming No Kings Part 2 demonstrations. I believe October 18th is the date. If that's a Saturday, then that's likely the date. And I imagine this is going to be even bigger than the one this spring.
There will be more announcements about this in all the usual places as the date approaches.
And please feel free to share any information that you have, because we have to talk amongst ourselves to get this these details out. Of course, the other important thing to point out is that apparently we're all terrorists now. Antifa and basically anybody who opposes Trump is being labeled as a terrorist by Trump himself. In fact, even over the weekend, he said he hated his opponents. I have never seen anybody in a position of power outside of elementary school refer to their opponents as somebody they hate. I really have not in this country. And just think about how scary that is, realizing that Trump hates you. Just let that sink in. He hates us. Now, you know, people accuse us of hating Trump. You know, it's different to hate a leader than it is for a leader to hate individual subjects of his. But even that, you know, I have difficulty saying I hate anybody. You know, once they start killing lots and lots of people and doing really awful things, it becomes a lot easier. But it's not something that I leap to. It's not something that I just say off the cuff. He does not have that problem. He is able to hate all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. But I just didn't think I'd hear him say that out loud, that he hates his opponents. And there are a lot of opponents. Boy, there are a lot of opponents. So that's a lot of hate. And this party, the current Republican Party, the current regime, there is a lot of hate. You can accuse Democrats of all kinds of things. I don't think hate is one of them. I think wimpiness is one of them. I think, you know, not getting their act together or being able to get past their own petty conflicts and unite, I think that's definitely something. But hate? No, the hate is what I see every day in these White House press conferences. Or with that border czar idiot, what's his name? Tom
Holman.
Tom, yeah, this is the guy that was found. There's video of him with a bag full of cash, $50,000.
It's a video? I thought it was a recording. That was a for real investigation.
It was
wasn't
a for real investigation last year, and there is a recording. The recording hasn't been released. So I'm not sure what kind of recording it is, but there is allegedly a recording of him absconding with $50,000 in cash. The premise is that once Trump gets elected, because remember last year he was not. Oh, that was a nice time. Sorry. Once Trump got elected, that $50,000 would help the two businessmen that he thought he was talking to, but actually was talking to the FBI. Those two would have access to Trump based on $50,000 in a bag. And the FBI was building the case. You know, they could have arrested him right there for that, but they wanted to build the case. And what do you think happened once Trump won the election? The case was dropped. The guy took $50,000. It's provable. There's evidence of this. That is what all the sources are saying, and there are a lot of sources. And this regime shut down the investigation, a la Putin. Just, nope, I'm not going to pursue this. The FBI is no longer the FBI. The Justice Department is no longer the Justice Department. It's sad to say these things, but the evidence is really piling in that they're both corrupted as hell and really interested in pursuing truth or justice. So yeah, looks like he got away with it. He didn't deny any of this. It's weird because the White House is denying it and he's not denying it. So it's just such a bizarre story.
I would just say that I think there are still competent people in government. Like it's a very large.
You mean student government at Stony Brook, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. But I don't trust those institutions in the same way. Like the court systems, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are key parts of them that really don't seem to have the same level of integrity they've had in the past. But I know that there are parts of that institution or parts of that branch that are competent and are doing what they can. I'd like to hold. I what else do we have? It is such an important part of our functioning statehood to be able to have trust, some level of trust, or at least for these institutions to be functional.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are realizing that is what I'm saying, that, you know, when they become this, for at least at the leadership level, when they become this distrustful or just chaotic, that it then kind of has fallen effects that become immediately noticeable. And there's, I guess at this point, some people left that are doing some of the jobs in these places, but it's under probably pretty absurd conditions.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
because if you need to call the Justice Department or, you know, file a case or the trust the FBI on some degree, this is their reputation.
You can't trust them.
So what are the follow on effects to that organization and to that, the function they serve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In disasters and, like, you know, awful calamity that happens every day. So it's really, really sad.
Anyway, look for the hate. It's spewing out of this administration, these people, in such ugly ways. And I just wonder where it's going to go from here. Okay, so the story we didn't really touch upon is the major story that broke last week concerning Jimmy Kimmel, the late night TV host over on the ABC television network, ABC owned by Disney. I learned a lot about network structure over the last week. I learned that Nexstar is a company that wants to merge, I think, and they own some affiliates. And then there's Sinclair. I knew Sinclair owned a whole lot of affiliates of various networks. They were big years ago because somebody was able to record newscasts, local newscasts of Sinclair-owned stations, and play them back at the same time and realize that every single anchor was spouting forth word for word what they were told to say. It was so crazy and pathetic, but that's who Sinclair is. And they're ultra conservative as well. So this is the weird thing about how this story unfolded. And I don't think there's been enough attention paid to this. Jimmy Kimmel said something last Monday, a week ago yesterday. Now, his show was not suspended until Wednesday. In other words, he did a Tuesday show. Because what he said on Monday really wasn't that big a deal that a whole day went by and nobody even thought to object until somebody did, until Brendan Carr, who I called an idiot on November 5th of 2024, and I'm proud of that day, for that reason, not for any other reason. He, on a conservative podcast, said that Jimmy Kimmel had to go, and if stations weren't going to stop airing him, they would face problems. It was a very direct threat, a threat he's trying to back out of now, but he can't because he made the threat. There's a recording of it, And that is what he did. And that is who he is. Because, you know, I called him an idiot because he did the same thing to CBS. He was threatening CBS's license because they dared to have Kamala Harris on with an interview. And Trump had declined to be interviewed. And so I don't know what he thought the offense was, but he was threatening licenses back then. Same thing, basically. Anyway, this is what Jimmy Kimmel said on Monday, that all of this, this whole thing is revolving around. And it just makes me wonder, have we lost the capacity to comprehend simple sentences, what people are actually saying and what they are not saying? Because I've seen so many interpretations of this where he is being accused of saying something that he absolutely did not say, you know? And this, of course, is concerning Charlie Kirk and the assassination and the reaction to it. This is the quote. "We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it." That's it. That sentence. There is nothing in that sentence that is not 100% true. We hit some new lows over the weekend. We absolutely did. The MAGA gang is desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them. That is exactly what they were doing. It doesn't matter whether he was proven one way or the other. If he was proven to be, a Bernie Sanders loving liberal, which he has not been proven to be by any stretch. But if he were, that statement still would hold true because the MAGA gang had been desperately trying to characterize the murderer as anything but one of them. And okay, maybe they succeeded, but they were still trying to do that. And they were doing everything they could to score political points from it. You know, I've got the emails to prove it. I've gotten so many political emails that talk about Charlie Kirk and trying to raise money and demonize anything that's not them. That is what he was talking about. And instead, people are treating this as if he was saying that the person who murdered Charlie Kirk was not left-wing, even though that has yet to be proven. And it's kind of funny because that is what they've been saying all along. Everybody from Trump down to the governor of Utah, who, you know, everyone's giving credit for being somewhat level-headed, but he's still saying some things that have not been proven, such as this guy was indoctrinated by the left. Well, okay, where's the evidence of that? You know, did he go to a single meeting of any group anywhere? He didn't even vote in the 2024 election. If you're a liberal, I think you might have voted in that election. It seems like another lone wolf who got triggered by something that was said, whether it was by Charlie Kirk or somebody in the media or somebody in the street. We don't know until we hear the evidence. But what MAGA has been doing is basically pointing fingers immediately within minutes of the assassination. And that is shameful. That is the new low that Jimmy Kimmel was talking about. And apparently, even saying that is over the line. Over the line so much that even people in non-Fox media are willing to concede and say, yeah, that was unacceptable. I don't agree with what he said. What he said is demonstrably proven. Provable. You know, it's basically saying that this person or these people behaved in a non-honorable manner. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a correct sentence.
Mm-hmm. So, what's going on now is that, you've probably heard this, that Jimmy Kimmel is now being allowed back on the air starting tonight. And of course, that's good news. But there's a big asterisk next to the good news, because those aforementioned Sinclair stations are refusing to put him on the air. Yeah. The story just gets weirder and weirder, because apparently last week, they wanted to put on a Charlie Kirk documentary in place of him. Think of anything more Soviet than that. You know, something gets over the air that the regime does not like, So they replace it with an hour of patriotic music. That's you know, what Sinclair was planning on doing. They didn't do it. I think, you know, tremendous pressure may have actually led them to think better of that. But as of now, they're still planning on ordering their stations not to air Jimmy Kimmel. Now, you know, I'm watching the reaction to this, and especially from the right wing and on Twitter, people are saying, well, it's freedom of speech. They don't have to air it if they don't want to air it. Okay, but the freedom of speech doesn't apply solely to Sinclair. It applies to individuals, individual people, the viewership, the populace, you know, because Sinclair owns all these TV stations. They're the arbiter of what can be said and what can't be said, and that's considered free speech? I don't think so. So in cities like Seattle and Portland, Jimmy Kimmel is blacked out because the local ABC affiliate is owned by Sinclair. Now, do you think the majority of people in either of those two locations wants that? Is that serving the public interest? It's really, you know, these are the kinds of things people need to raise their voices about. You might think television is stupid. You might not like Jimmy Kimmel. But if you don't see the threat that these kinds of actions are posing to all of us on all levels, you're exactly the kind of person that Trump and his ilk are taking advantage of and using to advance so far ahead we may never recover. And that's why even Jimmy Kimmel's competitors in late night television were 100% at his side, cheering for him. And that was a good thing to see. We have to stand up for each other. We all have to stand up for each other. Now, you know, we're a mere pebble on the beach in the eyes of broadcasting. But the values are the same. The values mean as much to us here at WUSB as they should mean to people at Meet the Press, NBC, you know, or what's left of PBS. It's all under attack. It's all in great danger. And by extension, our entire society is in great peril. So, yeah, I think that show's going to get some good ratings tonight.
Yeah, all eyes are going to be watching, I think. There's going to be a moment, a hush, to really hear what the response is, because that will set the tone for a lot of the stuff. And it's on people. Who knew? And I think we're reminded in some of the positive aspects of this that people really do have a lot of power, a lot of say, and can wield it. Like, there are many levers in democracy to respond when things aren't working, and we need to use them, the normal ones, because it is sort of a corrective system, but maybe ones we keep in the back of the shelf, you know, way out of sight, or we're not thinking of the ways we can get messages out there and respond to this with the right kind of speech, or just the right perspective to contradict some of the lies and ways it's people are being disempowered. Mm-hmm. So it's heartening. I mean, I hope there's more of it, and people just kind of warm up the machine. You know, sometimes you have to like get to the second espresso, you know, like if it was
you
a
keep
coffee.
Mentioning it. You've given me one espresso so far, and you say the second one is always better than the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you know you got to warm things up, and you got to test the machine. Whoa, whoa. Gee. What was? Oh my!
Wow!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you know, I think it was the coffee. You were talking about coffee, and that reenacted a scene that we lived through. A couple of days ago, we were in
I can't remember.
We were in a coffee shop, and And these kids were around, and one of them made a it was louder than that. It was a louder noise than that. I swear to God, the noise could have disconnected a phone call years ago.
It was an incredibly just beyond almost inaudible high pitched.
Oh, I wish it were inaudible.
I was thinking, wow, some parts of this, there must be parts of this I'm not hearing because it's just moving past the threshold of high frequency. But I have pretty good hearing. I mean, we have decent hearing
have decent hearing.
Yeah, doing audio here and, uh-huh. and, you know, we care. We care about, you know, when there's like subtle things, low frequencies or distortion.
Okay, but Kyle, okay, so that little brat ran by us and made that noise. And I believe you said something.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I reacted. I got overmodulated, as I'm talking about, and I invoked the Lord's name.
Uh-huh. Which Lord?
One of them.
You're not going to say the name.
No, I said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but you didn't say it that loud. You kind of muttered under your breath.
That's,
And I muttered something too, but I don't know what it was.
I was going for sort of like an audible under the breath, because it was a reflexive reaction.
Okay, so can I ask our listeners, is there anybody out there who would hear, can we get the noise again? Can we get the noise again, this one more time? It's the last time, I promise. Okay, they're queuing it up. Okay, yeah, because I think you need to, oh God. Okay, I should point out the kid that we encountered was happier than, it wasn't saying no, he was more saying yes. But you know, having fun as a kid, but still it was torture. And yeah, you just, I mean, it's a normal reaction.
I had some coffee in my hand. I was just trying to pay what I owed and get out of there.
Would you not say the same thing or something like that, you know, or just react in some way, because that really hurt.
Well, especially if you're not used to it. Cause I think, you know, when you're around young people or you're a teacher or something, like you can kind of like block out.
You might
like
be
that.
Used to it. Yeah. It's like, you know, torture on an ongoing basis, you get oblivious to it. But in this particular case, yeah, you said that. And then, you know, all of a sudden there's this guy standing next to you saying, what did you say? and he said, you were very honest. You said, I said, Jesus Christ, I said, about my kid. The guy chooses to be defensive about the honor of his kid at that particular moment when, you know, it was obvious you were reacting to the noise, not his particular offspring there. But, you know, I jumped in at that point and said, yeah, that was incredibly loud. And, you know, he kind of gave up at that. But it was like, okay, are you just messing with us or what? You really expect, an apology for being upset at being deafened by that noise? And, you know, I want all kinds of things I want to say afterwards. But I wanted to say, if you can survive that, you're stronger than me. I don't know. Are people really that touchy?
Yeah, again, I was just trying to get settled up with a coffee order and stuff like that.
That was the first espresso.
I think before you jumped in too, I said that I was honest. I was like, I heard a high-pitched sound.
Yeah, did you hear that? Did you hear that noise?
I kind of deflected. I didn't want to talk about the kid because, like,
we thought it was a supersonic airliner. Like,
what
crashing.
Are you gonna do too? Like, he's got like what, some hot chocolates in his hand or something? Like, all right, pal, you want me to apologize for commenting about the environment of this coffee place? Like, I had a lot of takes myself.
But can you imagine? I mean, this is the level of defensiveness somebody has that. You know, their kid is this disruptive, and every time somebody reacts to that, he's going to take offense and challenge them. What kind of life is that? You know, imagine what it is at home where you know, it's just you and you have to hear loud noises all the time. I mean, yeah, I guess that's what parenthood is, but, you know, show a little bit of humbleness to the people around you because they have a right to exist too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have hobbies too, mm-hmm. and I love what your little project is doing in this coffee place right now, but I can say whatever the hell I want about it. And I was kind of just like, oh, really? We're doing this now? Like, I'm not the guy. This is not the time. Nah. And I'm simply trying to pay for what I got here and just get out of the way.
Yeah.
And I can,
but again, it wasn't directed at anybody. It was simply a reaction. You can't even turn it off.
Well,
you know?
It was my turn and everybody was out of the way. It's and like, then of course there's this like, siren call, like as soon as I'm about to handle my business.
Imagine if like that kid threw a ball at your head and you ducked. That's the same level of offense, because were you ducking at the ball my kid threw? You should be embracing it. No, it's unpleasant. Loud noises like that are unpleasant. And, you know, you can't even control a reaction. And that's a human thing.
Honestly, it's bad parenting.
Okay, well, we're not going to get into, you know, but yeah.
I'm not. Why do I have to tiptoe around your parenting? Like, you're the one that's precipitating this, or at least owning it, and you want to come at me because it's like my fault I noticed?
Well, we you know, I don't know what he expected, but the situation ended there. You know,
thankfully,
no ill wishes or anything like that. But, you know, people really, I think they need to take it down a notch, you know, just realize there's other people around, and we're all wanting the same thing, like, you know, to survive the day. Anyway, we just thought we'd share that. That was a bit of fun. It we saw it as a funny thing in the end. It was just a little tense for a second, but boy. Anyway, I guess that's a good place to leave it for tonight, because boy, we have so many other things to worry about. You can write to us here at Off the Wall, otw@2600.com, we'll be back next. Next week, next Tuesday, 6 p.m. But WUSB will be broadcasting all throughout until then with all kinds of incredible programming, including what's coming up next. And we encourage you to listen. We encourage you to support the station. WUSB.fm has all kinds of info on how you can do that. Keep it tuned to 90.1 FM or 107.3 FM or WUSB.fm, and you'll find something that... you never thought possible on the radio before.
Try to feel fine.
Yeah, you know, we're entitled to that. And write to us with your thoughts, feelings, questions, challenges, whatever. You know, you have a voice too. And
I feel fine.
I do too. All right, this is Emmanuel for Kyle. We will see you again next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Did you know what I was going to play?
Yeah.
That's great. Starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself. Churn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox, beat grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear, fight down. High choir and a fire representative, seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left to us are coming in a hurry with the furies breathing down your neck. Team, my team, reporters, battle Trump, tethered crop, look at that. Common food, but it'll do. Shake yourself, serve yourself. World serves its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat. Dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right, you patriotic. Slam, fight, bright. Like feeling, pretty sight. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. TV hour, don't get caught in foreign tower, slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book, burning blood, letting every motive escalate, automotive incinerate. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch your heel crush, uh-oh. This means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world. Leonard, Brezhnev, Lenny Bruce, and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, you, Cynthia.
patriotic, patriotic slam, but next, right? It's the end of the world as we know it. Not feel far.